Welcome back to the Indie Worldwide Podcast. This is the second part of a two-part conversation with my friend and rival, Tiago, founder of the Wannabe Entrepreneur Community. You can listen to part one over at his podcast, the Wannabe Entrepreneur Podcast. Go to the description below for the link to that. In this pod, we're talking about community building, building community businesses, and what exactly makes the best pastel de nata in all of Lisbon. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Tiago, the host of the WBE podcast. Anthony and I split this conversation in two parts. You can hear the first part at my podcast. The link will be in the description. I hope you enjoy this one. Let's go. But yeah, so this is kind of a way. One thing that I really like, so as you said, like I try to build everything myself.
Yeah.
And I maybe this is a mistake. I think this might be a mistake. I'm just passionate about coding and like seeing everything work and automate that and not pay a dime. I want like, you know, really core, hardcore bootstrapper. But I think that's a mistake. And I like your approach where you just try out things. I remember when you tried out the indie offices, that little tool that I created.
Like you did the join the Slack to get me to use it thing, I think. Because when you joined...
No, not that. I was there before. You invited me to join.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm working on indie offices. And I'm like, well, you're in Slack. Yeah. Let's try it.
But it was not for... At least the first time I joined
with noble intentions.
Yeah, not the intention. But then I thought, okay, if there's someone that might
Which is the right way to do it.
Yeah. It would be Anthony.
So are you still working on that? Or
no, I put it on the side for now. It was extremely hard to get people... to use it,
so even though I think it's a great concept idea. For the unfamiliar. It's like
offices. So the idea is that people are working their projects and they are alone in their room or their home office, whatever. So you could just join a virtual room, like a Slack, not Slack, like a Zoom room or something, where you can see others work. And we had like a Pomodoro timer and we had like a shared Pomodoro. So we could say like, okay, let's work for 30 minutes and then have a break and then work again. And it worked. I've done some really nice, interesting work sessions with some of the members, but it's extremely hard to get some engagement. And it was the same when you tried.
That's kind of what Ramen Club does, right? With this like work sessions, like first work sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they're more like events, you know, where it's like, this is only Saturday.
Yeah.
You know,
they have a host as well. So they have a host that is a moderator that will like plan everything and then organize. And for me, being only one person is extremely hard. But I like this approach of, okay, let's pay someone or let's pay for software and try it out, see if it works. I don't have to spend hours trying to code it.
Yeah, you don't have to do everything yourself. There's so many tools out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The downside of that is then you end up using a thousand tools. Like we use so many different stuff that it's actually become kind of like tech debt, where it's like the coordination of all these things gets more complex as we add new tools. And so kind of reining that in a little bit, trying to centralize things is like a challenge that comes with that. So now I am building maybe some software in order to just have like some single source of truth, at least for who is a member even. Like if you ask me, how many members are there in Indie Worldwide? I'm like, well, how do you want to count them? Like, it's hard to actually even know exactly how many people are in the community because there's so many different, because, you know, we're using the events platform, the introduction platform, the chat platform.
But they all integrate with Slack or no?
Not really. Yeah,
they don't. So everyone has to go and like sign up in each platform.
Yeah. People are all over. Some people are in one and not the other. Yeah.
I wonder why don't they make it to integrate with Slack?
Well, there's a lot of community tools that are kind of integrated in Slack, but it's just kind of a mess, you know? There's so many different softwares. And the ones that are like super integrated also sometimes come with like a lot of lock-in where it's like you have to do everything on the platform if you use the platform at all. It's like, well, you know, I already have a lot of systems that work that aren't part of whatever your platform is. I want to keep using them.
Yeah, interesting. I never thought of that downside. Yeah, I integrate mostly everything with Slack because they have a very good API. Mm. You can do all of this stuff. But so I have that bot. The other one, we also have our own matching. It's not as advanced as yours, I would say, but it's you join a channel and then there's this bot I didn't create. It's called Random Coffees. Mm. And then it matches two people together every week. And one thing that I created that I really like is a way so that people so that you are sure that people in that group are active, because sometimes people just lurk or just stop using Slack, but they're still in that group. They still get matched, and then it sucks because the other person wants to schedule coffee and gets no response. So I created another bot that is, I called it Activity Bot. Mm-hmm. That if after 15 days, if after 7 days actually, without, if you have no activity, they will send you, the bot will send you a message saying, hey, you better be active, otherwise I'll kick you out.
Have you found any way to automate kicking out though?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Because like I looked at the Slack and I was like, oh, you have to be enterprise grid level to use this.
You just use the API.
You got to show me how to do this, because like every time I like look in the Slack API, like can't figure it out.
You can use it. I was even today working on that. So yeah, now the bot basically after 15 days, if you don't like send a message or a reaction, it can be just a reaction, just like a little coffee or something. It will kick you out.
I want to bulk remove everyone who's like never accepted an invite and like anyone who's like inactive for like too long or...
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. No problem.
Okay. I want to tighten it up a bit because I feel like you join the Slack right now, you see like, oh, there's 4,000 people in here. Like, like this isn't too public. Like I don't want to share private details. I don't want to be myself here. I want to perform.
Yeah, true. Good point.
And I want to make it feel a bit more intimate.
Yeah.
Everyone that's there.
You, like, if you want to test it. But I can cheer that. That's it's a really good way. So another question. You asked me why did I create a community before, right?
Yeah, so I think Anna asked us on Twitter, it's like why a community business? Why not a SaaS business or an info product or get a real job?
Yeah, I think we're getting into the what is a community. So is it a real job? Is it like those who can't do, they create a community, or they teach, or they create an info product.
I mean, I think there's some truth to that. I started a community to learn, you know, not because I was an expert.
Yeah, I started a community because it was the only way I could make money.
I think it's important to point out, like, I don't think most people are joining the community because of me. Maybe some people do now, but like from the beginning, the reason to join Indie Worldwide was not to talk to Anthony, it was to talk to all the other members. True. So like, I don't think it matters that I'm not a $1 million SaaS founder, because the other members are, you know, and that's who you're here to talk to. The people we invite to the events are. I'm just like the coordinator, you know.
But I already got this question, like, what people asking me, like, what do I do special? Like, what is to prevent them from just like starting, getting all of these people and starting a Discord channel or another Slack channel
fucking
for free?
Go for it. Like, try. It's not easy.
Yeah, that's something that I would love to discuss, because it's hard to really explain what a community manager is. And now it's getting like, it's kind of a job, and there's people doing that as a job, and there's job offers in big companies like Notion, for instance. They have a lot of community managers. But it's a kind of one of those new jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So what is your work? How would you describe to someone else what you do for the community?
I mean, it's coordination, right? It's like getting interesting people in a room together. It's like the core of the job. Day to day is much more chaotic.
Yeah.
You know? and there's so many different sub skills, right? Like you've already highlighted like the management of the group in the private space, or the kind of curation of a more public community, like what Notion does on Twitter and stuff. And then there's like building tools for communities. Mm-hmm. And then there's like marketing the community. There's many different skills that can kind of fall under that umbrella.
Yeah. So how is the normal day for you working in the worldwide?
Yeah, it's chaos. It's, you know, part of it will just be responding to messages and stuff and like connecting people to each other. A lot
of a schedule?
No, like I'll schedule things, but I don't have a repeating schedule. Do you have a repeating schedule? Like, do you have habits?
I'm trying to get on that now. Before it was exactly, it was like answering and like some managing, some creating tools. Mm-hmm. But now I'm trying to be more like I wake up and I have, I think, 30 minutes of community management only. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a little bit of coding, and then... And then that's it. I'm trying also to allocate less time for that project. But yeah, but that's very new. Before it used to be, as you said, like all scattered around.
Yeah.
But you're saying, so answering people, because there's your personal messages as well, because you have friends, mm-hmm. and then you have the organizational part. So
like in the community, it'll be like, oh, like Tiago wants to learn about podcast hosting. Oh, like Mark Stedman runs like a community for podcasters. Like, let me make that connection really quick. And then
so you read the messages and then you just tag people.
Yeah, that's like a lot of it. Just like tagging relevant people
right.
for conversations, or like giving my thoughts on things, pointing them towards resources. Mm-hmm. Like Indie Worldwide has a lot of resources for founders.
Yeah,
we have all these like partner deals, like free Stripe credits, free AWS credits, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, oh, like you're building this, like here's $5,000 for free, you know, like use this. And then it's like, so that's internal. And then this external is like, who do people want to learn from? Who do people admire? Reaching out to them, getting them to come to our events. Just like organizing events in general and advertising them.
So there's a lot of work in trying to figure out what people want. There's a lot of work in trying to match people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also you just chatting with people and also coding, testing new tools, doing all of that, right? Do you know how much time you allocate, or what takes the most time from you?
It really can vary week by week. Like my focus changes over time, and then I'll kind of circle back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have like task lists. This is one of the things like I'm trying to improve now, is kind of like operationalizing. What I really am trying to do now is put other people in charge of certain jobs. Mm. Because I'm doing a lot of things at once, so they're all getting done, but not because none of them are my focus. They could all be done better, right?
Interesting.
So I'm like,
so community members, you want to get them more involved?
Yeah, the community members are just like part-time hires, basically. It's like, okay, like now you're in charge of facilitating conversations.
That's so interesting.
You're in charge of like producing the podcast. Or whatever, you know.
But so you get one person from your community, an active member, and you decide to somehow promote them.
Not necessarily. So like right now I'm working with like a really smart consultant. Her name is Samantha. We kind of connected over Twitter first. Now she's a member of the community.
Hmm.
She's helping with community design and community management tasks.
Yeah.
Yesterday, an old friend reached out from college. Who was like, hey, I'm kind of bored at my job. Like, I've seen what you've been posting. Can I help? I was like, yeah, you can help. I was like, so now he's going to be in charge of like producing the podcast.
Right.
There's a lot of these like kind of
tasks. But do you pay them or is it for free?
Samantha's getting paid right now. Dante just wanted to like volunteer.
Okay.
I want to pay everybody like salaries in the future. Right now we don't make enough money. But if I can grow it fast enough, my goal is to like build a team.
Interesting. I feel that you have such a much better business approach. Did you study business? No, software development.
I studied software development, but since I was a kid, like I said, like there was no sports star dreams. It was always, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Right. Yeah. So I've read all the books. Like there's definitely diminishing returns with reading the books, but and the reason, again, why I started Indie Worldwide in the first place was to learn how to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like the podcast is an excuse to talk to people that are smart and figure out how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a long time I was consulting with other startups, like helping them. So my specialty as a consultant was like 0 to 1. So you're a founder with an idea and a budget, and then I help you build a product and a team. And like work processes.
Yeah.
Now I'm just doing that for Indie Worldwide.
Yeah, this is very interesting. Yeah, it's a completely different approach. I wonder if I shouldn't also just follow that, because for me it's more like, okay, build everything myself, as I said. And I wanted to get the people from the community as well more engaged and kind of promote them, to give more responsibility to them, so that I can also allocate some tasks for them. But yeah, I'm always afraid. So I don't know. First of all, like, should I pay them? Should I waive their subscription fee? But then what if I don't like their work? It might be awkward. I think
Charlie's done this really well. Charlie Ward, Ramen Club. Yeah. Like, because he promotes, like, all the hosts are internal promotions.
Yeah.
Like, they were members. And his offer, he pays them, I don't know, $200 to become a host per event. And then also a free membership. So it's like, they were already a member. They were going to show up anyway.
Yeah.
Now they get paid to do the same thing they were doing.
Yeah, but what if you don't like their work? Might be awkward. Yeah, and then, if you want to now be part of the community, you have to pay.
I guess. Like, I don't know if that's come up for him yet. We should ask. But at that point, it's like, it's business, not personal.
Yeah, you know?
You know, you just be real with people. Like, be like, hey, let's try this, see if it works. Yeah. Like, no harm, no foul if it doesn't. You know, just be upfront about expectations and what a divorce, like, sign a prenup, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if you do need to divorce, there's, you've already negotiated
that. Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah. It's a weird job because, as you said, it's business, not personal, but it's hard not to be personal.
When it's a community.
Because it's a community, yeah.
Yeah, these are your friends.
It's funny because I use the community as well because it's satisfying a need that I have. You know, I need these people around me. So sometimes I'm sharing just stuff about the community. I was like, today I will work on this for the community.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working for them because they are at the same time my clients and as well my friends. You know, so it's a very weird relationship at some point.
Mm-hmm.
What about marketing? So
yeah.
A lot of my time, if I think about it, is spent in marketing. And marketing has a lot of different nuances, a lot of things that you can do, right? You have Twitter, as you said, you have to create content for Twitter. Then you have to create these nice posters and flyers. You need to think about events, which are kind of also marketing, and then you need to promote those events. It's a lot of work that I wish I didn't have to do, but we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
What is your approach? How much time do you spend on that?
I'd say most of my time is probably like marketing in some way. You could say it's like a great way to do marketing is to figure out something you're already doing and then just like talk about it online. So like that's building public on Twitter, right? You were doing the shit anyway. Now you just write a tweet about it every now and then. And like, hey, like that kind of checks the marketing box. I think one of the best ways to do marketing is figure out something your target audience wants and give it to them for free. And then people will share it and like it and join for that free thing. And then now you have like a relationship with them. You've given them something and like they're more inclined now to give you something back or like try out your paid product.
Right, right.
So like our biggest lead gen, like magnet or whatever you want to call it is our challenges, right? So the 100-100 challenge is probably the first time we ran it, it doubled the size of the community. Yeah. You know?
So what is that?
So the challenge is 100 users, 100 days, get 100 new paying users in 100 days. It's a giant group challenge with like a public leaderboard, masterminds, workshops, demo days. It's basically startup school for bootstrappers.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's we've run it twice now, both times for free, and both times, first time I think 500 founders signed up, this time like 450.
Wow.
So yeah, and it's just like literally like, okay, this is something. But it started as, the first one was kind of funny. It was like, oh man, like, could I challenge myself to get 100 paying users in 100 days for like my intro service? And I posted it. It was like, hey, would anybody else want to do this? Like, should we do it as a group challenge? A couple of people were like, yeah, let's do it. And then I got distracted, like didn't work on it. It's like weeks go by. And then a couple of people comment like, hey, are we gonna do this? I was like, oh, you guys are still interested? It must be a really good idea then. So then I launched it. I like, it's the hackiest thing ever, dude. It's Google Sheets. It's, like tally forms, like literally I just have like a set of different sheets that takes everyone's updates and signups and everything and turns it into like a Google Sheet API that I use to build the website on. The website is a card page with an embedded like vanilla JS snippet that renders the table. Yeah, it's like the jankiest thing you've ever seen behind the scenes, but you know, it works.
Yeah. It's well, I totally relate to that. Sometimes I'm coding and thinking, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, this code is terrible. It happens to me quite often.
Where, like, how are people finding about you? Like, is it mostly the podcast?
No. So the podcast, it's just, go for it. It's mostly Twitter and Indie Hackers. So those are definitely the best sources of traffic. But Indie Hackers especially, I just create content, posts, or just answer other posts. You have a little bit of voice on that.
Yeah, that's for later.
So I just go there and I see a lot of posts. And if, let's say, someone is asking what's your MRR growth? And I say like for the WBE space. And the cool thing about Indie Hackers is that you have the markdown and you can just like tag it and you don't have to put the link. So I just say for the WBE space, this was my MRR growth. And a lot of people click. So I was getting a lot of traffic from Indie Hackers. But then the downside is, first of all, you need to put a lot of work there. Like every day, it's annoying. Like you have to open. And I always think like, do you want to do this? in the next 5 years, like going there, clicking and answering, it's really annoying at some point. And then also some people started to complain about spam. Spam. Yeah, I got a moderator telling, hey, Tiago, can you please tune it down a little bit? And I told him, like, no.
No.
I said, I cannot. Like, the reason why I'm here mostly is to do marketing. And of course, I'm not just like spamming my stuff. As you said, I'm creating content that is valuable, but like always all kind of text. So I told him that, yeah, I couldn't stop. But I eventually stopped because I got demotivated. Funny enough, I created a post about how to get traffic from indie hackers where I explained all my method. And then it got featured in their newsletter.
Nice.
But then, yeah, I stopped. I actually stopped since they told me that. I got a bit discouraged. And I immediately saw my traffic going down. And it's super annoying because, yeah, you need to do this actively to get users. So now I'm focusing more in trying to come up with SEO and more automatic ways to get traffic. But it's a long-term game. It will take some time.
Talking to the community a lot about this too, like especially with Sue Paul, who maybe you know, he's like runs Launchman, which is like a programmatic SEO service.
Oh.
And then also with Samantha, who's like helping me design the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so like with Samantha, we're talking about like the difference between marketing funnels versus a marketing flywheel. Mm-hmm. Right? So marketing funnels, like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You post in these places where your audience hangs out.
Yeah.
Some percent of them click, some percent of them convert.
Yeah.
The marketing flywheel is like, okay, so now instead of you making the posts, your community members make posts that drive people back to the community, right? And so that pairs really well with like programmatic SEO where like,
yeah, exactly.
Like that's how Indie Hackers itself works, right?
Mm-hmm.
People make posts about themselves, about their product in public space. And so Google can crawl it. People can share individual pages.
Yeah, yeah.
So it creates a flywheel effect where people come to Indie Hackers through like search and through word of mouth and sharing and stuff like that.
So
neither of our communities really have something like that.
I have it now. Actually, I created something around that where I basically... one of our groups is called Looking for Advice, where people ask questions. It's a lot of tech-related questions, but sometimes more about marketing or business in general. And I found it really... There's very, really interesting content there.
Shake the mouse again.
Go for it. But there's also one problem. There's two problems. One is that Slack, it's really hard to go back and see the old questions. And two, we are both in the free version of Slack. So at some point, we have a limit amount of messages that you can access.
Yeah.
So this content will be lost. So I thought, okay, what I can do is have a script that goes through this channel and create and puts everything into the website and store everything into a database. So that's something that I've done. I've done it like last
week. So you built it. I'm using Pmate software that does that.
Exactly. we spoke about this. You're using a tool.
Yeah, we haven't really started using it yet, but we're set up. So now like we can like highlight really good posts and have them be like publicly visible and stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of figure out how to paywall some of that stuff first. So like I want the benefits of being indexable, but also the benefits of like I don't want to give everything away for free. You know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like always like it's always this challenge of like what parts of the community are like part of our marketing and what parts are part of the value of the community.
Exactly. That's a good point. Yeah. So for me, I'm just trying with this specific channel. And then let's see if in the Google will start index it or not.
Well, you should talk to Suk about it because he might be able to help you.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, let's see. But
I this whole podcast is just me like selling other people's services.
Yeah, no, it's completely fine. That's by the way another interesting thing, which is sponsorships in the podcast. So I always feel that I don't want to do any kind of advertisement or I don't want to be paid or be sponsored.
Yeah.
But it's extremely hard to make money of a podcast.
I think you'll find Indie Hackers are one of the most understanding of like paid promotion because everyone's trying to make money, build a business.
But I don't I personally don't like it. For instance, one podcast that I really like is Arvid's podcast. Very short, but really cool. But like half of it now is an advertisement for MicroAcquire.
Oh,
and it's so annoying. I hate it.
Yeah.
Because he starts speaking about MicroAcquire and like skipping. It's like still skipping.
I think it's
skipping.
The most annoying one. It's like the same ad every podcast. It's like, I've heard it already. Skip, skip, skip it.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like different and presented differently every time, I don't mind as much.
Yeah.
Like the YouTubers where like, you know, like YouTubers are always like segueing nicely into their ads.
Yeah, true.
Or like Mr. Beast will like give his ad spiel during part of the competition or whatever. So like you're still actually watching the show.
Yeah. A different kind of product placement.
Right? Yeah. I think he can do it in ways that aren't so jarring.
Mm-hmm.
Like you do it in your way, you know, like there's no rule. You don't have to do it how anybody else is doing it. You can do it how it makes sense.
Yeah, but in a perfect world, my podcast is the product itself. Like, why do I need to find another way to make money? It's, I don't know. I wish that I could just like people just pay for it. And I hope that we are going towards that. You could just
promote your community more during
the podcast. I do that.
And does it drive conversions? Do people sign up?
I don't have a lot of people listening to the podcast. So it's about, I think the audience, 150 people.
Okay.
So it's always the same 150 people that come and listen, which is, don't get me wrong, I love it. Like the fact that there's 150 people listen to me every week, it's great.
It's probably not worth it to monetize yet then. It's probably better to focus on growing it.
For ads also. But yeah, I put a lot of work on that. I recently also created a script that pushed all my episodes to YouTube, which is cool because I can get a little bit of their algorithm. Hopefully it will also start working. But yeah, it's an interesting topic. Do we have any more questions that we did not answer? I remember that Max also did something. Sneha Saigal, sorry if I'm not saying your name correctly.
Shout out to Sneha.
Yeah. Asked, what are the different ways in which you can build this community? What are the different ways?
Well, there's like, I think there's a couple ways to interpret that. One's like practically, like what platforms do you use?
Yeah.
I use Slack, Discord.
Yeah.
The answer to that's kind of easy. It's like, where do your prospective members already hang out? Like try to build it where they already are.
Mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurs, a lot of them are already like, they're tech workers or whatever. They're already using Slack. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Or they're using Discord. The other way to interpret it is like, how do you find the people that should join? Like, how do you curate that?
Mm-hmm.
How would you answer that question?
How do you create the people that should join?
Yeah, like how do you convince them to join? How do you find the right people to join?
That's a great point. That's a great question because first of all, you need to understand why people want to join. So you need to understand your target user first, and that requires a lot of effort. So it really depends if you already know that or not. In the beginning, it's kind of, for me, it's indie hackers or at first was entrepreneurs. It was like,
yeah, that's kind of broad though. Do you want every single entrepreneur or do you have like a specific person in mind?
So then people start joining and you start asking them and you start kind of narrowing down and understanding what all of them have in common. And now I have a much better vision on how and what kind of people want to join the community. So for me, I know that it's like bootstrappers, most of them doing this on the side still, most of them are developers, so you can paint a much better picture of the users. But yeah, in general, you just kind of realize what is your topic and you start, you know, trying to get people around and then you start figuring out which one fits best.
Yeah.
But you were saying also regarding Slack and Discord. Why did you choose Slack and not Discord?
People were already using Slack. People were also already using Discord, but I wasn't as familiar with it. So I kind of just went with like what I like to use.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I went for Slack.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would rather we did Discord, but either you need to build some kind of, you can never really fully migrate a community from one platform to another. Like you're going to lose people. So we could either build a Slack Discord bridge. Some people have done that before. I think Nomadlist does this. Maybe do that at some point. I don't think it's really that worthwhile. Like my focus is just on creating different ways people can participate. So Slack is where we chat, but like the live events are where we meet, you know?
Yeah. But the main platform,
Slack. And maybe at some, maybe when there's a team, I'll think about this more, but, like I have trouble like building a project to the end when I'm not being paid to do it, you know, like for some reason it's much easier for me to build software for other people than for myself.
Well, yeah, I totally get that.
It's like as soon as I sit down to build it myself, the scope explodes because there's so many things that I could build and then it doesn't end up getting built.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I've gone more and more towards no code, where it's like, all right, there's constraints. It's like the difference between starting with a a blank piece of paper to write your essay and already having like an outline, mm-hmm. you know. It's like, I'll go with the no-code tools where they're already kind of built and just like work around them.
Yeah.
Move faster that way.
Yeah, I totally relate to that. For me, if I don't have users or if I don't have people paying for it, it's not worth it to like invest a lot of my time.
Yeah. So the only things I've like successfully built are like the challenge, because people people were asking me to do it. It's like, okay, I got to do it. Then a bunch of people signed up. And I was like, shit, now I really got to do it.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, they're expecting stuff every week. Like, I got to deliver on these promises I made. So then I was able to execute. Same thing with the 101s. It was like, oh, people like are expecting this to be good and done. It's like, I need to do it.
Yeah.
And like, I need to like cut out all the other ideas that are in the way of getting it done. In the absence of like that, like external motivation, it's hard to like actually finish any software.
I totally, and I think that's the right way to do it as well. Yeah, there's a lot of people that just build everything, a huge product, and then in reality, no one wants to use it.
Yeah.
Another question from Maxwell Davis. Hey, Max.
Sup, Max.
Sup. He asks, how do you demonstrate the value of community?
I was kind of touching back towards like, what is the value of the community to begin with, right? We already talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
How do you demonstrate that? I think the best way to, maybe I'll just take this one. So like the best way I think to demonstrate the value is to promote your members. Like, who are they? What are they doing? Why are they cool? You know?
Okay.
How do you think about it?
I think, yeah, it's a great question because I struggle with this a lot. What I'm trying to do maybe is not exactly the best way. For sure, the members, I agree. And then the features. So the features that people use the most, I try to highlight them somehow. So, for instance, the matching or the random coffees that people really enjoy, I try to say like, hey, this is what we do.
This is features versus benefits, though. You got to know. You got to talk about the benefits. So, my favorite story to tell is like, oh, like these two founders met through the community or through like an introduction. Now they're working together on X, or like now they've partnered on Y, you know. It's like, oh, like Mark and Mike, they met during an event. Now they're hosting a podcast together. Or Banu found Vinod software. Now it's like helped him grow his business by this much. No, it's like the...
So you give...
So the benefit is the partnership.
Benefit.
And then the feature is like, oh, like the feature that they used to meet was like the chat or like the one-on-ones.
Right.
But the benefit is like this partnership, this friendship.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Very interesting. Maybe I should also do that.
Because you don't join like an intro club to get to like talk to people. You join it to like make a friend, right? Or like make a sale or find a partner.
Yeah, so you kind of show them already the benefits or what already came up from the community.
Right.
Instead of like what they can do in the community.
Yeah, no one wants to join a community, right? They want like all the things they'll get from being a part of it, you know?
Interesting, yeah.
I don't want to go to the dentist. I just want my teeth to be clean.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. That's definitely a great answer. I think that's... So is that something that you put on your landing page, those stories?
Try to. It's really hard to write good copy that like explains things in a way that resonates emotionally and like it's about the value and not the future. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. I think we're doing an okay job about it, but we could always do better. You know, every time I look at it, I'm like, okay, like maybe I'll just start from scratch.
Yeah,
better next time. Yeah. Probably done it over from scratch a few times.
Me too. Four, five, six landing pages. Yeah, I've been focusing more on the features, but maybe you're right. I should just focus more on the kind of relationships and connections that came from the community. But I've been focusing on like, yeah, people like this. So, but I do think that when you're building a landing page, there's two approaches. One is like, what are you doing? So for people that, let's take the example of Ivo, for instance. I was looking for a way to automate my welcome DMs. So that's what I want to see. When I open the landing page, I just want to see, we automate your DMs. Perfect. Yeah. That's it.
This is like the jobs to be done approach, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then you have the approach of like trying to explain the benefit of automating DMs. So for people that are not necessarily looking to automate their DMs, you just say, Tiago used our product and his sales increased by X%. And then you're like, okay, cool. I want my sales to increase at X percent, so let's use that.
I think it depends on who's coming to your landing page and why. Like, people already understand why they want to send DMs. They're just looking for a tool that does it, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to say, we send DMs.
Mm-hmm.
The community maybe maybe they have a job to be done where it's like, grow your startup faster, you know?
Join
this community.
Yeah,
true. I should probably change my copy. That sounds great.
Yeah. But that's very abstract though. Because if I would read that and then join the community, that says nothing to me.
I think this is like,
so I like the idea of the relationship. You say in the community, these people met and now they are working together. Or in the community, this person entered with $100 MRR. Now it's 1,000. And you're like, okay, cool. There's something that I can take off.
I think the jobs to be done converts better than benefits, which converts better than features.
Yeah, I should do that. I should try that.
Because the 100-100 page converts way better than our Indie Worldwide page because it's more focused. It's like, join this to get 100 new users. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants 100 new users.
Yeah, true. It's a very good point. Interesting. What other communities have you tried out in our scope? Or not?
Scope. Founders Summit, Wannabe Entrepreneur. I've never done Rama Club. I just admire it from afar.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important
Product Hunt
for us to join other communities?
I think it's good to see what other people are doing well and take from it, learn from them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the Nathan Laka's got a community. I don't know how active it is right now, but they do some things well. I'm in a bunch. I'd have to check my Slack.
Is there any community besides Indie Worldwide that you use often?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, just Twitter, I guess. But
yeah,
there's communities on Twitter, but Twitter itself is not a community.
Exactly. Isn't that odd that the creator of a community only uses his own community? And I do the same. So,
I made it to be the community that I want to exist.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And there's you can't actually build a community, right? Not the way you can build a SaaS. When you're building a SaaS, the thing you build is the thing. You're writing code, that is the SaaS. When you're building a community, the thing you're building is a place for people to hang out, a reason for them to gather. Mm-hmm. You don't build people, right? The people join the community. The community is those people.
Right.
So you'd never actually build a community. You cultivate a community. You create space for a community, right? Yeah. So you're herding sheep in a way, or you're creating an event. You're creating an experience.
But
you don't actually build a community in the same way.
Yeah, you're planting the seeds and hope that they will grow, but you cannot control the growing process somehow.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah,
when you're built, the things you're building, you're not building community. You're building tools for your community. You're building an interesting space. You're finding interesting people to join it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But you can't write code that says, "Okay, create person Tiago who is interested in X." You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think now we kind of shared a little bit more light on what is our job as community managers, right? Mm-hmm. You get the organization, curating events, marketing, coding, or finding tools. So there's a lot of different things going on. It's not only coding, maybe a SaaS where it's mostly coding and marketing. But it's, a big spectrum of different tasks.
Do you have goals? Do you have an end game in mind with Wannabe Entrepreneurs? Are you still working on it 10 years from now?
Well, great question. My goal, I don't have long-term goals. I have short-term goals, which was to reach Ramen. I start to question now if a community can ever make a lot of money.
Oh, Dan's is doing 30 grand a month.
Yeah, that's true.
Founders Cafe,
but
I think makes 10
different
grand a month.
Yeah. That's a different community than Daniel's Vassallo. It's more you go there to learn from experts, I would say. No? I'm not entirely sure, but in our kind of community, yours is a little bit like that. For mine is you're going to find a group of people like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You got
hopefully it's possible to reach that.
There's a lot of communities that make a lot of money. You know, you got the trends community. There's two different trends communities that both make quite a lot of money.
Okay.
There's different private groups for entrepreneurs. There's various like conference kind of based communities. There's a lot of communities making a lot more money than they even are.
Yeah, Rosie Cherry, she made a lot of money with the QA.
I think that
Ministry of QA or something.
You got to find like a kind of productize it a bit, and then you need to really figure out your marketing.
Yeah,
if you're gonna grow.
But do they have the same business model as we do?
Though? Like just like paid memberships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Then that's my goal.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Like definitely trying to reach a certain... Okay, my goal now for the community and putting money aside is to find a way to get users or new users in the community without me having to spend every day creating content and doing marketing, like this kind of hard marketing. I would like to have a more passive kind of marketing going on. So that's definitely my goal at the moment, so that I could just focus on the part of community building, and then all this part of like bringing people around, it's automated. And with that, hopefully then obviously get to a nice MRR. It does not need to be 30K. I would be happy.
What is 10K. Your baseline? Like what's ramen profitable for you?
Ramen, well, what is ramen profitability, I think? So ramen is just like the minimum you need to live.
Like, what are your expenses per month now? Like, what do you need to make in order to cover them?
Yeah.
That's what I consider ramen profitable.
So...
And you can either reduce your expenses or increase your revenue.
Okay. So with your lifestyle, if you want to maintain a certain lifestyle, right? Like, I would say that I would need at least $1,500 to maintain the lifestyle.
And you're like 30%?
It's 20%, I guess. 25%, yeah. Because I'm now at 500. No, so less. 30%, I think you're right, yeah. Yeah, but then again, one thing that is so discouraging is when I speak with my colleagues and friends, developers, and the amount of money they're making.
Yeah.
I mean, this might discourage a lot of entrepreneurs out there because it's... it's so much money. Like even now, developers now are making like 100K, 150K. This amount of money is like, oh my God. Like, at first my goal was like, I want to make the same salary as a developer with my own projects. And I'm thinking, okay, that's practically impossible. It's crazy.
I think if your motivation's money, then like building a community is not a very efficient way to get there.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to figure it out. And like, build up trust and like create that experience. Mm-hmm. It gets easier as you get better at it.
Yeah.
But it's a much longer path than just getting a job.
What is your goal?
Right now, my goal is to build like the best online startup accelerator for bootstrap founders. I want it to be the go-to place for like have an idea, have some traction, ready to get to whatever the next level is.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to come in. So like you're at 500 MRR. You join Indie Worldwide and we get you to 5,000, you know, wherever you are times 10, basically.
Yeah. Which is the goal of most bootstrappers. They want to reach ramen. They want to then reach a decent paycheck. And
yeah. I mean, when I first started, the goal was I want to make friends.
Yeah.
Now, and I want to learn things. I feel like I did those things, made some really cool friends and people that I really admire and learned from them. Now it's like, what does this community want to be like? What's next for it?
Mm-hmm.
I think like based on how all these challenges have gone, I think like that's what I want to do now is like become like the go-to online accelerator, like startup school for bootstrappers, basically.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very much better question than answer than mine. But I should think more about that for the community, but I would love as well to have enough people around the world, and I think you're much closer to that than me, where you could just go anywhere and meet them and work with them. And I really believe that in...
That's kind of what I'm doing this summer.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Just going where my community members are and hanging out.
Because one thing that I noticed that indie hacking can be very lonely, and meeting people online is great, but I would love to just have a group of people that are like colleagues that I can go to a coffee place or a co-working space and just work.
Yeah.
I think that would be super fun. So
we should co-work more.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We should do that. Maybe as the last question, what have you learned from the community members or from your interviews about bootstrapping that you didn't know before? Something that you're like, wow, yeah, I wish I knew this before I started.
Yeah, I mean, kind of everything.
Is there anything in specific?
I would say, like, start with your audience first. Yeah, like, start with, exactly not like, don't saying. Not necessarily build an audience first, yeah, but know who you're selling to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Figure out what they need, solve their problems.
Yeah.
More common order of operations is come up with a product.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out who might want it and go sell it to them. So much easier if you first you figure out who you want to sell to, first of all, and then how are you going to reach them? Mm-hmm. What is your distribution channel? Yeah. Start there and then build a product that matches the distribution channel and the audience. I think that's what
helps. That's exactly my answer.
Yeah, really?
Yes. That was
it's exactly kind of common sense, but like...
It's not.
Common sense isn't all that common.
Yeah, I think it's not that intuitive. Like when I first started, first start with an idea. There's always the cult of the idea. You need an idea, it needs to be great, needs to solve a problem. The idea is the most important thing. And then you build it, and then you reach the point you're trying to make money, and it's super hard for you to get people on board.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed in all the interviews and everything is that you should actually start, as you said, with the audience. And it's as well, exactly my answer. I would say exactly the same. Start with the audience, identify their problems, see where they hang out, understand their lingo, and then, go from there.
Yeah. Nice. Oh. Is that the podcast?
Perfect, yeah.
All right, this was fun.
How should we end it? Just wrap up. Bye-bye. Should speak about our communities?
Trying to get some... Yeah, so where do we find...
Where can we find you?
Mostly on Twitter, Anthony Castrio. I just bought the IndieWorldwide.com.
All right. So you can go
to IndieWorldwide.com. Most expensive letter I ever bought because I was co. It's like a $2,000 letter M. Now we're com.
And it's still a good price. I've heard some crazy prices for domains, actually.
I bought it during an Indie Worldwide mastermind because Vinod was talking about how much they spent for, I think, magicstudio.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to pay, like, if Indie Worldwide does grow like I want it to grow, people are going to jack up the price for this domain. I'm going to buy it now because this is as cheap as it's going to get. If I wait a year, it's probably going to be $5,000 or $10,000, or whatever they think they can get from me.
Yeah.
So, bastards. IndieWorldwide.com.
Perfect.
Where do we find the Wannabe Entrepreneur podcast?
Wannabe-entrepreneur.com. It's the website. And on Twitter at WB Podcast. I should change my handle, I think. When I started, it was only for the podcast, but now it's much more. So
you should be yourself on Twitter.
Yeah, I should do that. But anyways, at the moment, it's WB Podcast. And and that's it. You can go there and you'll find everything you need. And the links will also be in the description of both of our podcasts and everything. So people can just go there and click. And that's it. This was Wannabe Entrepreneur feat Indie Worldwide.
Indie Worldwide feat WWE.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. That's it.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.